First Corinthians chapter 15, we are going to read verse 40 to verse 54. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we are born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can we say amen? Now, the passage we have just read shows an elaborate comparison between that which is earthly and that which is heavenly. Truth be told, there is something about the earth that is glorious. Now, we cannot deny that fact. There is something about the earth that is beautiful. There is something about the earth that is attractive. There is something about the earth that is exciting. There is something about the earth that is glamorous. If somebody tells you that the earth is about rubbish, the earth is about nonsense, the person may not just be telling you the absolute truth. Let the truth be told. There are some beautiful things in this earth. Some things on the earth have a shining glory that we cannot ignore. Because if we do, we will be vague in our pursuit of that which is eternal. That's why the Bible went on to enumerate. It said there is one glory of the sun. There is one glory of the moon. There is one glory of the star. One star differs from another star in their glory. Praise God. They are different in their makeup. And so if you look at the way that the earth, the system of the earth is constituted, you will discover that you get to like almost everything. Have you been to the market before? Now, if you enter a good market or a good shop without having something in particular in mind to buy, if you have the money, you may likely buy everything you see. Why? Because those things are beautiful on their own. Praise God. Now, you see a blue shirt, a blue gown, very beautiful, very attractive. He said, wow, this is a blue gown, very wonderful. And then before you know it, you turn left and you see the red one, the same design. And then you can't help but open your mouth in total amazement. I thought this one was beautiful. But can you imagine this? Praise God. There are people who have favorite colors, and there are those who don't have any favorite color, because everything is beautiful. Praise God. So let the truth be told. Let no man deceive you. There is something shining. There is something flashy about the earth. Praise God. And so if you don't understand that, your pursuit of eternal things is going to be vague. It's going to be without order. You will just be thinking, okay, this earth is rubbish. There are people that are poor, and poverty makes them to believe that there is nothing good about being wealthy. Praise God. Make them to believe. Why do I need to send my child to a school that I need to pay $1 million per term? There's nothing good about that. It's just an excessive show of riches. Praise God. The truth that if you have money enough, you will send your child there. Praise the Lord. So, it is the glory of the earth that intimidates some believers to pursue it. It is the glory of the earth that makes some believers to pursue it. Can you imagine, for instance, you are standing on the road waiting for a cab that would take you to where you are going. And then the sun is very high. The sun is hitting you. Everything is not just right. You are sweating. Then while you are standing and flagging down on cabs, passing by one after the other, sweating under the sun, here comes a brother from the same church or a neighbor, drive past with his family in his air-conditioned car. The thing is cooling them and they are just going. And then they wave you there. You are still sweating and waiting for a cab. You are likely to change your prayer point the moment they pass. I said, oh God, when will you remember me? When will I sing Hosanna? Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Praise God. Now, that is the flashy and the shiny nature of the earthly things. Praise God. So it is the flashy nature of the earthly things that intimidate believers to pursue it. Can you imagine going for a function? And then as you are stepping into the place, everybody is standing for you until you sit down. They will not sit down. Everybody is clapping. They are introducing you with all sorts of names and titles. MMI, MMS, FSS, everything. And then you are seated down there. I say, when will I be like that person? Praise God. Am I the worst sinner here on earth? The shiny nature of the earthly things is what intimidates believers to pursue it. But you know, the good thing about God is that God is not saying that because you are his child, you should not have the flashy things on earth. But God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of this shine shall be added to you. God didn't say pursue it. God said, don't pursue the things that ought to be added. Praise God. But because of the flashy nature of the things, it intimidates us to pursue it. It is attractive. The glory is so imposing that the devil has succeeded in charming many, making them his prisoners today. Because of the imposing nature of the glory of the earth, it is attractive, it is imposing, and many people are unconsciously bowing their heads to catch it. And the devil is happy. He's using that now to bring a lot of persons into his prison. He said, if you bow to me, I'm going to give you this. Praise the Lord. Now, the devil, during his temptation, took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him the glory of the world. He showed him the magnificent building. He showed him the architectural masterpiece. He showed him the wonderful cars that were available. He showed him the very new designs and fashions that were advertised. To say the least, the devil took out time to advertise the glory of the earth and the glory of the world to Jesus. The glory of financial power, the glory of political power, the glory of the traditional stool. I heard of a pastor, general overseer, founder of a thriving church, who, because of the glory of the traditional stool, stooped so low to accept a chieftaincy title. Praise God. They said, this our son, he's doing well in ministry. And all the village elders and chief decided they want to give him chieftaincy title. Praise God. And he left his pulpit and went to the village and bowed his head for them to give him chieftaincy title. And that cracked his church. Praise God. Till today, he's not been able to recover from that fall. Amen. That's the glory of the earth. The imposing nature of it. The devil showed all of that to Jesus. Advertised it to Jesus. The glitter and the excitement of it. He showed it to Jesus. And that is what he uses to make men prisoners. That's what he uses to bring men to himself. Praise God. And you hear some people say, of what good is it for you to wait for God for donkey years before he will come and answer your prayers? And by that time you would have died. Why not just get to the devil and get this thing quick? Get this thing fast and then be good. But you know one thing? Everyone who ever got something from the devil begged the devil in the end, and the devil didn't show them mercy. Praise God. Everyone that got something good, something that looked tangible and attractive at the end, when the devil came demanding for the price, they had to beg. You see somebody who will go to an occult and say, I want to be wealthy. Poverty have dealt with me and my family. I want to be wealthy no matter the cost. I just tell me, what do I do? And they said, this and these are the things you are going to do. In fact, you are going to live for only 20 years. He said, 20 years, that's good for me. And then he becomes wealthy. He builds houses all over the place. He becomes popular. His fame is rising per second. And then, while he's enjoying it, at the peak of his enjoyment, the devil comes and said, now it is the time for you to die. And you see them begin to run. Praise God. And said, the time is so short. Do you mean I've enjoyed 20 years already? Please give me time. I need more time. The devil uses the glamour of the earth to make men prisoners. And I pray that you won't be a prisoner of the devil, because he doesn't show mercy to his prisoners. He took Jesus to the high mountain, showed him all the beautiful things, and guess what he demanded? He demanded that Jesus should bow to him in order to possess those things. And that's the same demand the devil is still making on people today. Praise God. That's the same demand. Little wonder Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Because you can't be pursuing the glory of the earth and expect to land in heaven. The road that takes you to where the glory of the earth is a different road from where the kingdom is. You can't be pursuing the glory of the world and expect to land in the kingdom of God. It won't land you there. If you pursue the glory of the world, you are going to land in the prison of the enemy. And let me tell you this, there is this false sense of security that is found in slavery. You may be in slavery and yet you are enjoying, you think you are okay. The Israelites exhibited or displayed that kind of character. While God was taking them through to the promised land, in the wilderness, they made statements that God got angry. They said, we remember the garlic we used to eat in Egypt. We remember the cucumber and the carrot. They appointed a captain to take them back to Egypt. They remember that false sense of security in slavery. And they thought that it was an enjoyment. And that's what the devil gives to people. He makes you have this false sense of confidence even when you are a slave, even when you are in prison. Praise God. He makes you have this false sense of enjoyment. Assuming Joseph agreed to what Potiphar's wife said, would you not think that Joseph would have been enjoying as it were? Oh, that would have been enjoyment. Fat bank account, and then you have your master's wife on top of it. Praise God. That is enjoyment by the worldly standard. Joseph would have been free. But the fact that he was sleeping with the master's wife wouldn't have changed the fact that he was still a slave. Praise God. In fact, the best would have been a slave going out with a free person. And so that's the false sense of security the devil gives to people in slavery. It gives you that false sense of security in sin that you are committing. Then you are saying, after all, I'm also giving the money to the church. They are using it. God will understand. Some people will get money in the wrong way and they will decide to build a church. And say, Pastor, don't worry, I will build the church by myself. Praise God. And then the church is completely built and is dedicated. And everybody is praying, God bless that man that did it. God exalt him. God honor him. And maybe he's in church that day and is specially introduced and honored. This is the man that has built this wonderful place for Jesus Christ. Only him and him alone knows how he got the money. Praise the Lord. But now, because he has done those beautiful things, he begins to feel this kind of relief. Can you imagine that I am sinning and my business is still growing? Praise God. False sense of confidence in slavery. He just committed sin today and he just went at that same time and had a contract of 10 million. Wow. It could be that God has overlooked this thing that I am doing. You know? Maybe because of how committed I am in church. Maybe because of the volume of tithe I used to pay, he has overlooked me. Praise God. Otherwise, how can God be blessing me if he's angry with me? False sense of security in slavery. When he showed Jesus, he demanded one thing. He said, bow yourself to me and then possess it. How many times will you bow for the devil to get what God would have given to you? Praise God. How many times will you compromise and change your confession just because you need to get something from the hand of the devil? And I'm sure the devil never gives anything free. We must be sincere and face reality. The art is real and the glory of it is real. For instance, it is glorious when you step out of your car and you have a retinue of servants rush to meet you. They won't even allow you open your car by yourself. They will even want to help you come out of the car as if you cannot carry your leg again. Praise God. That's the glory of the art. What a beautiful scene. You are just stepping out of the car. Servants are lined up. One of them is opening the car. Another one is trying to help you out. Another one has already gone ahead of you in the room and is keeping slippers. Oh, there are some that they will even be spreading flowers alongside and you are just walking. Some people, they will even spread a red carpet and you are walking. What a glory. Will you want to leave that kind of a place? Now, that's the glory of the earth. Praise God. It is enticing. It is attractive. Why do you think people are dying for power? Praise God. Somebody can say, I'm going to rule for just 4 years. I'm very sincere. And he enters here. When you stay 2 years, you understand what power means. You want to stay 8 years. Praise God. That's the glory of the earth. Where everything is available to you. Praise God. Now, that's how imposing the glory of the earth is. You become a very important person. Anywhere you enter, everybody's greeting you. If you are that kind of a person, you will like it to continue like that. And if that is not your condition, you will pray passionately that God should also help you to become great. In fact, you begin to make positive confessions. One day, I too will be great. One day, I too will become something. One day, I too will become great in the land of the living. I shall not die until I become a millionaire. Praise the Lord. But you may not understand the glory that you saw. That it wasn't the glory of God. It was the glory of the earth. No matter how beautiful it looked like, it is the glory of the world. And it must not be mistaken for the glory of God. The earth has a glory to offer. And we are faced with the conflict and challenge of the glory of the world every day. And it's important that you know what the nature of the glory of this earth is so that you can understand the imperative of living for eternity. Now, you need to understand that the glory of this earth is going to fade away. We are gradually entering into it, the nature, the true nature of the glory of this earth. Solomon saw it all and concluded. He said, hear the conclusion of the matter in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of a man. That was the concluding chapter of that book. But this is a man that enjoyed everything enjoyable on earth. Talk about women, talk about money, talk about wealth, talk about food. What can you mention that Solomon didn't have? But at a point in his life, he could write vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. He said, I have seen one error under the sun. That there is something that is common to everybody on earth, whether poor or rich. When a poor man dies, he said they will open the ground and put him. When a rich man dies, they also open the ground and put him. He said, this is vanity. Praise God. It troubles me that for everything I have here on earth, there is a common denominator between me and every other person who may not look like me on the earth. That the moment this thing we call breath, the moment this thing we call oxygen leaves a man's body, and the man is breathless, that man has become worthless that same hour, no matter how much he has in his bank account. Rich men are not treated differently in the mortuary. Praise God. If you have visited the mortuary before, you will know that life is meaningless without Christ. That rich men are not treated differently. There are no special mortuary for rich men. Praise God. And so they could just carry the corpse and just throw it like this somewhere. Oh, you need to visit the mortuary. You understand what I'm talking about. Praise God. One of the times I visited the mortuary to see my father's corpse. Check the way they want to go and bring the corpse. Praise God. No respect for those guys there. Amen. The least of a child has more respect. Just shift the thing, shift the thing, shift the thing like fish and bring your own. Praise God. When something hanging on his neck, you don't have a choice whether they wrote the name well or not. And Solomon said, all that is vanity. Praise God. All that is vanity. You don't choose the cloth you are going to wear. In fact, whatever people choose to put you on, the day they are burying you, that's what you are going to wear. You don't have a choice. If you like your favorite color be red, the person that decides to bury you decides to put you in white, you don't have a choice. And Solomon said, I have seen this evil. Thereafter we have done all this, we will go down the same way. So hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man on earth. And if you can do that, then every other thing will be easy. So, we must know, the truth is that the earth has a glory. The earth has what to offer. And so we are faced with that conflict. We are faced with that challenge of the glory of the world every day. But it is important that we know what the nature of this world is, so that we can be able to prepare adequately for the kingdom that is not built by man's hand. For the kingdom that we will never experience power failure. For the kingdom where we will never need to vote, either to vote in or to vote out a government. For a kingdom where there will never be inflation. For a kingdom where everything will be constant. You've got to understand how this world is. Sometimes you can make firm decisions to live for eternity, only to be confronted with the enticing display of the glory of the world. And then, all your sincere and honest resolutions to live for eternity will melt away. Praise God. Sometimes in the presence of God, you feel like, oh, I wish Jesus returns now. Oh, what a mighty present I felt today. You are in fellowship with God and you enjoy God. And then you make a decision. I will live my life for Jesus Christ. 2 weeks after, you are confronted with the enticing nature of the worldly things, and then all your resolutions you made melted. How many persons made resolution this year and said, this year I'm not going to smoke, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to womanize. This year I'm going to serve the Lord. January, they held to it. February, they held to it. March, they held to it. But by April, May, and June, the reality began to set in. And they said, no, let me just enjoy a little. I will come back after. That's what the glory of the earth does. Praise the Lord. The glory of the earth is exciting, but very superficial. Many Christians have said that even if they will live for heaven, they must also enjoy the glory of the earth. Hence, they have been lured into the pursuit of the glory of the earth to the detriment of their souls. Many have said, even if I will go to heaven, I will still enjoy the glory of the earth. See, God is never against you enjoying the glory of the earth. After all, the Bible says that the wealth of this world are reserved for the children of the kingdom. Have you seen it in the scripture before? The wealth of this earth are reserved for the children of the kingdom. Praise God. Christians are rich. Christians will be rich. But don't do that to the detriment of your soul. Praise God. You must know that a condition has been laid down by the devil, by the prince of this world, for everyone who desires to go for the glory and enjoy the glory of this world. And that condition is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. A condition has been laid down. Satan has said, I can give it to you. I can give it to you. But there is something you must do for me. Matthew chapter 4, 8 and 9. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and do what? And worship me. Look at verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, this is a demand that you bow down in order to get it. But the glory that God desires to give to his children surpasses all the glory of the earth. Praise God. The glory that God desires to give to you is greater than the glory that the earth has to offer to you. Sometimes people think that the things of God are late, but God never comes late. The things of God always come at the right time. Praise the Lord. So you must understand that the devil has a demand. If your choice is to pursue and enjoy the things of the earth to the detriment of your soul, you must also agree that you are going to bow down to him and get it. And that's why in many native doctors' houses, if you visit native doctors' shrine, their doors are always shorter than normal human height. Praise God. So that consciously or unconsciously, you are going to bow before entering the place. Amen. Their doors must always be such that you need to do what? Bend your head. You don't walk straight and enter. You need to bend somehow. And that's the demand of the devil. He said, I'm going to give it to you, but there is something you need to give up. And if you understand that that thing that you have is precious, the devil lost it from the beginning. So that's why he wants everybody to lose it, so that all of us can be at the same. Learning from Jesus, in that passage that we read, the best way to handle this subtle demand of the devil is to put it behind us. Jesus told Satan what? Get thee behind me. Like Paul said, I count everything as dung. I put them behind me. So the best way to handle this deceptive demand of the devil is to do what? Put it behind you. Let the glory of this world be secondary. Let it not be primary. Don't say, God, if you don't give me a wife, I will leave you. If you don't give me a car this year, I will leave you. If you don't answer my prayer this year, I will go and serve the devil. A lot of persons have threatened God like that, and they are still threatening him. If you don't answer my prayer, I will enter Amok. When I enter Amok, you will lose me forever. And God said, if you understand what you are losing, you will know that in the end, you will be the ultimate loser. Jesus said, get thee behind me. So you must be able to tell the glory of this world, queue up behind Jesus. Praise God. Queue up behind who? Behind Jesus. The Lord pushed the glory and the flashy things of this world behind him. And this is the only way your vision can be clear and not blurred by the empty glory of this world. Praise God. The glory of the earth is a fading glory. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to end on this subject now. The glory of the earth is a fading glory. When something fades, you don't like it again. One of the questions you are likely going to ask the person that is selling your fabrics for you is that I hope this fabric is not going to fade. Because no matter how much you bought it, if it fades, it has lost touch with fashion. The glory of this earth is a fading glory. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The glory of the world passes away. The fashions of this world also do not last. For instance, if you fill your wardrobe with the current fashion, you will soon run into problem. As the world changes, it will make those things that you have put inside your wardrobe to become obsolete and turning the content of your wardrobe to a mere rag. Praise God. So if you go to the market looking for things that are in vogue, I bet you that you'll be disappointed after some years. How many of us have had to change our shirts, our cars, the things that we wear, even when those things were still good, because they are no more in vogue? That's the thing wrong with the world. It's a fading world. Praise God. Today you see buildings. Buildings that were built 10 years ago are not the same today. So if you built your own 10 years ago, you committed $10 million to it, that design will become obsolete as far as today's building is concerned. So you hear somebody look at your house that you spent so much money and say, this old building. Praise God. What is old about the building is not because it has stayed for a long time. It's because the design has changed. The system of the world is designed in such a way that it makes new things to become old in a short time. And so that's why it is dangerous to pursue the glory of this earth, because it is a fading glory. And now on a lighter note, if you're a serious person that goes to the market, when you are looking for something to buy, don't look for something that is raining. Look for something that is durable, something that is lasting. Praise God. Because if you look for something that is raining, you will soon be in trouble. The things are fading. Today's cars that we drive are not what they drove 5 years back. Praise God. I saw somebody with a phone, very expensive phone. I said, why have you changed your phone? The other one you bought, what happened to it? He said, all my colleagues are now using this one. So that's why I had to change. Fading glory of the world. Praise the Lord. The world is designed to make you commit your funds to something that is not going to last, so that you will keep running after it. Running after it. That's what the devil is doing. Praise the Lord. So understand that this earth that we are living and everything that is in this earth is changing. If you seek to pursue the earth, you will change with the earth. The way the earth is changing, the way the glory is changing, that's the way you are going to be changing like a chameleon. From one day to the other, today you lie, tomorrow you lie again. You keep lying like that, you are changing. But we have a God who is unchanging. The glory of this world is a fading glory. So you cannot follow it for long because it will soon change and fade out. Before your eyes, it will capture and captivate you. You may spend all your income to pursue it. And this is why men are generally on the run all the time. You must learn the discipline of putting it behind you. The glory of this world, you must learn to put it behind you. Otherwise, you will just be running the cat race. Every time, the rat race, you are just running. You want to change this, you want to change that, you want to change your house, you want to change your phone. And he asks, why are you changing it? The basic question you should ask, what is my phone supposed to do for me? What is your phone supposed to do for you? Help you receive call, help you make call, help you send text messages and receive text messages. If your phone can do that, then it is good enough. Praise the Lord. Shoes, you keep changing it. Haircut, you keep changing it. That's the way the world is designed. It changes everything around you. And when you wear something that they used to wear 10 years ago, people say the world have left you 10 years behind. You are still behind. And so you are marking time so you can meet the world where it is. And God say, if you continue that kind of race, you will lose all your stamina that should have taken you to eternity. Men struggle to save and buy the latest model of cars only to wake up the next morning to discover, to their dismay, that that model has passed away and a new one is in vogue. So the rat race to catch up will continue. Praise the Lord. Those that are excited about the world and the glory of the world will spend their lifetime, will spend their income, will spend their investment to secure it. This is because they have been captured and are captivated by the glory of the world. Though the earth has a glory, but it is a passing glory. It is a fading glory. It is a temporary glory. Have you ever paused to compare the quality of the old cars that we used to ride those days with the flashy and disposable ones that we have on display nowadays? Praise God. 504 of those days, they said this one, if it hits you, you know that something has hit you. But today, we have flashy designs, but they are not durable. Praise God. How many of us know that? They are made with fiber, that if fire just occurs, it burns them off. Praise the Lord. So if you look at the world very well, you will discover that the world is passing away, both in quality and in its functionality. Old things are generally stronger than the ones that we are having currently. How many of us know that? Old things are generally stronger, are generally more durable. There are houses that were built in the early 80s. And they are still there. But the ones now, they are no more there. Praise God. Old things are generally stronger. Go to electronics, even to photographs. Sometimes I look at my mother's photograph when they were still young people. My father's photograph, they are still there. But snap today now, wait and take. In those days, there was nothing like wait and take. Today we have wait and take. Snap now, in the next 20 minutes, they are going to give it to you. And you look at it, very beautiful. He's shining. But go and put it together. Go back to it. You discover that something is wrong. Praise God. Generally, older things are stronger and more durable than what we are having now. And what does that show to us? The system of the world is designed in such a way that we will spend money for something that will not last. So that when it fades away, we will keep pursuing it until we lose our ground with God. Praise Master Jesus. My prayer for us is that we will pursue something that is better. They told Peter, deny Jesus. And Peter said, judge you. Who should I obey between man and God? There is, however, a glory that does not hang on the currencies of this world. That is grace. Grace is better than a glorious gold. The glory of prayer, the glory of depending on God, surpasses the glorious nature of this earth. There are things that surpasses the glory of this earth. And that's what God wants us to pursue. God is not saying that you should go and sell all your properties, like some ignorant people used to do very early when they got to know the Lord. In one of the churches, they were selling their television set, setting it ablaze and all of that, that these things are carnal. Now, that's not what God is saying. God is not saying that you cannot put on a fine clothes. You cannot buy an expensive materials. If God has blessed you to buy a tear rubber car, go ahead and buy it. But make sure that your life is not hinged on it. Make sure that you will not do everything, including denying God and compromising your faith, in order to get something that is fading, something that will not last forever. That is the danger of it. To what extent can you go to get the beautiful things of this life? Can it get you to the extent where you will deny God and say, God, I'm not going to? The wife of Job told Job to curse God and die. And Job said, no. The Bible says he held to his integrity. He maintained his integrity. If you are going to make it to the kingdom, if eternity in heaven is going to be your lot, if eternity in heaven is your drive, if eternity in heaven is your desire, then you must learn to put everything earthly behind you. Let them queue behind Jesus. Let Jesus be in your forefront. But it will be wrong and completely wrong when you begin to pursue the things that are supposed to be added to you. And God said, when you do that, you will lose your soul. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh,
bless you, Lord.